passage I'll preach today from is Psalm 90. You'll notice that this is called a Song of Moses, or a Prayer of Moses. Please listen as I read God's Word. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, "Return, O children of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it was past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Today we're celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Stillwater Reformed Presbyterian Church. Birthdays and anniversaries present us a time to celebrate and a time to remember. And so we've brought together some things to remind us of that history. You see a table with some pictures over on the side that you can go through. There'll be some other stories and relating of part of our history later this afternoon. Like anniversaries, some of those memories will make us smile. In fact, you'll see some pictures over there that you might not recognize. I'm told that the Carroll children said to Meg, "Who is this man that you're with, this baby-faced, clean-shaven man?" They didn't even recognize him. Well, there'll be some fun memories like that for us as we remember what God has done. There'll also be some things that we take very seriously as we remember how God has walked with us through times of trouble and how he has seen us through these many years that we have had, and it prompts us to pray for the future as well. To guide us in celebrating and in considering, I'm going to preach from Psalm 90. In it, Moses lays out a powerful, what I'll call a vision and mission statement for the people of God. It is this, and you can find it listed on the back of your bulletin, that God has been our dwelling place throughout all our generations. Therefore, learn to count your days and set your heart on wisdom's ways, now and in the years to come. It begins with God. Moses is very explicit in where he starts. So in the outline of this message, I'm going to be explaining then the vision that Moses has of God. It's his vision and his experience of God. And it starts with this. First of all, God is our dwelling place. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. We think that Moses wrote this psalm either towards the end of his life as he's looking back on all the things that have happened, or possibly right after the rebellion of the Israelites. This is recorded in Numbers chapter 14. In either case, Moses had some things to look back on. He had experienced God's mighty deliverance. You can just flip back a few more pages in the Old Testament and you will find how Moses relates how God delivered them from the hand of Egypt. The Lord heard their cries in their slavery and in their oppression, and the Lord delivered them with many mighty signs and plagues. He led them out of Egypt and across the Red Sea, parting the sea before them. He had provided protection and food and law and worship. But sadly, these same men and women who had passed through the Red Sea very soon rebelled against this great and holy God. And so they were to wander through the desert for 40 years. They would wander there until that generation entirely passed away. Until their children would arise and receive the promises of God going into the land of Canaan. And so Psalm 90 rises out of these experiences. Moses had seen God's miracles and His mercies. He had seen His provision. He also knew God to be a God who is holy and who judges sin. Significantly then, Moses begins the psalm with this remarkable expression of who God is. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all of our generations. What Moses is communicating here is that the conviction that wherever they go, that this is the people of God, not because of their faithfulness, not because they were a mighty nation, but because of God's goodness, because of God's faithfulness, and because of His covenant with them. He could say that the Lord is our refuge and our home. So it didn't matter where they lived. They could have been in the homes of the Promised Land or in the tents of their pilgrimage. God was their refuge. They could have been in the desert or a land flowing with milk and honey. They could have been in bondage to Egypt or finally free. It's all the same because God is the same. He is our dwelling place. We've known something of this ourselves, haven't we? We can think just of a physical home, and that prompts us to remember how God has been our dwelling place throughout the history of the Stillwater Reformed Presbyterian Church. Our physical home has been in the Knowles living room, in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, in the Nazarene Student Center, in the Stillwater Community Center, and now here in Sanger Elementary School, where I'm glad to say the choice for me is drug-free. Our home has been a variety of places, has it not? It's been a variety of physical locations, and yet that variety of physical homes has pressed a knowledge on us that the church is not where it meets. The church is who meets. This is the church. The church is the people of God. And so we, as the people of God, can say together, no matter where we have been, God, you have been our dwelling place, wherever we have gone. And like Moses, we can anticipate what is to come. Moses never went into the promised land, did he? And yet, by faith, he knew God to be his God. And to be a God to him and to his children after him, to every coming generation in every age. And so he could speak with this confidence, God, you are our refuge. You are our dwelling place throughout all our generations. And what a God this is. What a God we worship. Look what Moses says about this God. God is infinite and eternal. This is the second point on your outline. In verses 2 through 6, Moses describes God's almighty power, his justice, his creative power, and his beauty. These declarations are given in a way that serve to humble us before this great God. Just think about what Moses says. God is infinite and eternal. He existed even before the act of creation and is the God of creation. Both of those are amazing. This is a psalm that you could spend the rest of your lifetime meditating on. The Lord spoke, and by the power of his word, he brought the entire universe into creation. But his power is not limited just to this universe. He existed even before that started, even before he created. That's just mind-boggling, isn't it? That God existed before the universe. That God existed before time. That from all eternity past to all eternity future, that God remains the same. He will never change. And what about man? We like to think that we are immortal. We like to think that we are young and strong and free. But we're not. All we have to do is to look at the pictures from 25 years ago and note the changes. Dave is no longer the baby-faced boy that he once was. You won't be either. You rise up like grass in the morning, and you will wither, and you will die. You are mortal. There's nothing that you can do about that. Just like Moses describes here, your days are fleeting and few. 25 years seems like a long time. But in reality, there's part of it that seems like just yesterday, isn't it? For Moses, they were reflecting on 40 years in the desert. During those 40 years, an entire generation had passed away. Every man and woman who was part of that rebellion of not going into the promised land, they died in the wilderness. Every single one of them. Moses goes on to say, you know, some people live to be 70 years old, and if they're strong, they may see 80. With modern health care, we are even reaching to 90, to 100. But death still comes. And those days, even those days, should we live a long life by God's grace, even those days are full of worry and toil and sorrow. Our days come to an end. And if you stopped in the middle of this psalm, it would be a very depressing psalm. Our days end with a sigh. God, though, is infinite and eternal. This would be very important to Moses and the children of Israel. They would spend 40 years in the desert, waiting for God to keep His word. But the promised land was not the ultimate goal for the Israelites. They were expecting the Messiah. They were expecting the Lamb that would be sacrificed to bring forgiveness of sins in reality and in truth. They were waiting for Jesus. Another 1,000 years or more would pass until Jesus would be born. And by this song, Moses taught that the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And this God, this everlasting God, is your dwelling place. He will accomplish His purposes. And isn't this the case for you too? Can't you identify with the words of Moses here that our lives are brief and fleeting, and that we long for the promises of God? Don't you long, like the words of Augustine say, that our hearts are restless until they find their rest in You, O God? Don't you long for such peace, for such resolution, for such glorious resolution, that when God makes all things right? And so there are days in your life, and there are days in the life of our congregation which we have groaned together. We have wept over the death of friends. We have bemoaned the sin that is in our life and in our nation. We say together sometimes, "Oh Lord, how long until You make all things right? How long, O Lord?" What Moses does in this psalm is he brings us and our perspective to the very throne room of God. He brings our perspective and modifies it, or doesn't modify it. He brings God's perspective to bear so that we would understand our life in light of who God is, this great, infinite, eternal God. It helps you to see that for God, a day is like a passing of the night. That 1,000 years are like a day for God. Peter quotes this in the New Testament for the very same purpose, to address that longing that we have, that longing that we have that God would make all things right. And he says to those who are around him, Peter does, as I believe Moses does too, he's addressing those who say, "Well, when will God act?" In Moses' day, they wandered for 40 years. And it's, "How long, O Lord? When will You act?" In Peter's day, he could say, "It is just as it was from the very beginning. When will the end come?" Our confidence is that God will act, that His purposes cannot be thwarted. No person and no power can stop Him from achieving His ends, because He is infinite and eternal. This becomes even more important because of what Moses highlights next. Man is not only finite in compared to God's infinite nature, man is also fallen. Man is sinful, but God is holy. It's a third point that I'll set before you today, that God is holy. The Israelites knew this very well as God disciplined them during their times in the wilderness. Verses 7 through 11 might not seem to be very rousing words to give during a celebration of a 25th anniversary. These words say, "We are consumed by Your anger. We are terrified by Your wrath. God has revealed our secret sins. Our days pass away like a sigh." even if you give us 70 or 80 years, those days are full of pain and sorrow. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. Just why does Moses set this in this psalm? Why did he put it in a psalm to be sung, not just for the Israelites, but a song to be remembered and put right in the center of our scriptures? The book of Psalms is given for every generation. So why does God intend for us to think of this? It is because God is holy, and we are not. The trials that the Jews went through came because of their own sins, and because of God's holy discipline, and because of His love. While that discipline may seem depressing, God doesn't leave you in despair or darkness. The Lord teaches through this psalm not only about your sin, but He also teaches about repentance, and He teaches about His love. The New Testament builds on this concept when he says, when the author of Hebrews says that the Lord disciplines those that He loves. In other words, it is an act of unlove or hatred to leave a child to grow up in rebellion. It is an act of love, though, to correct. And what the entirety of Scripture teaches is that out of love, that God does not leave His children in their sins. That God disciplines, but disciplines in a way that brings repentance. And so He speaks here of God uncovering their sins, even bringing their secret sins before the light of His countenance. God uncovers even your secret sins. You see, God loves you so much that He would not give you over to those secret sins. He loves you so much that He has given His Son to die for those sins, and then given His Spirit so that you could be conformed to Jesus, so that you would be more and more like Him. And so the Lord will not rest happy with you hiding and cuddling sins in your heart. Instead, He brings those to light. He rips away the mask that you have worn and gently and mercifully confronts you so that you repent. Without God's grace, you would pass your days under His wrath. Without His grace, you would try to hide your sins. And you might be successful to hide them from your friends and family, but believe me, you cannot hide your sins from God. Because of this, you should be warned. You should be warned of the power of God's anger. It's wise in the midst of a celebration of God's faithfulness to be reminded that no one understands fully the wrath of God. We tremble just with our bare and elementary understanding of that wrath. We tremble to think in terror of what hell is like. And it is wise for us to tremble. It is wise for us to recognize that no one understands the depths of that, because we do not grasp the depths of the holiness of God. Our congregation must continue to labor to understand that holiness of God. In fact, it will not prosper unless it labors in this way. To understand that God is righteous, that God is holy and that we are not, that He has given us His Son that we might follow after Him. So while you are warned of God's anger, at the same time thank God that He has loved you so much that He does not leave you in your sin, but corrects you and disciplines you so that you repent. Which leads us to the fourth aspect of God. God is merciful. Moses didn't try to hide his sins. Moses didn't try to hide the sins of the children of Israel. Instead, he goes to the one place where there is answer for their sins. He goes to the mercy of God. Here is where we encounter Christ most clearly in this psalm. Since God is holy, He must punish sinners. But God is also merciful. He withholds the punishment that you deserve. And instead of pouring that wrath out on you, He has redirected it. Sin must be punished, and God does so by putting the punishment that you deserve squarely on the shoulders of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so, because His wrath and His justice and His holiness is satisfied on the cross, God can also show mercy to you, a sinner. He is both just and the justifier because of Jesus Christ. He has not just winked and waved you past because today He has decided to turn a blind eye toward your sins. No, instead, He has poured out His wrath fully on Jesus and has turned to you in mercy. Instead of showing you a face of His judgment, He has shown you a face that is shining with love, and a face that is shining with righteousness and welcome. This is our merciful God. He is holy. He is infinite. He is our dwelling place. And He is merciful. Based on these propositions about God, then, Moses appeals to the Lord. On the outline, I have the word therefore. And here's where there's something of a mission statement for the people of God that rises out of Psalm 90. Since God is our dwelling place, since He is infinite and holy and merciful, therefore, learn to count your days and set your heart on wisdom. Verses 12 through 7 constitute an appeal that Moses makes to God. A mission statement, if you will. So, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. As our days are finite and short, Moses leads us to say, Oh God, make us patient and wise to wait upon You. He goes on and says, Return, O Lord. How long? Have compassion on Your servants. He leads us to say, as we are sinful, God, have mercy on us. And not only have mercy, but satisfy us with Your mercy. Then we will be glad all our days. Then we will rejoice. Such mercy will wipe away the days of sorrows. Moses even says, make us glad for days that overwhelm the days of sorrow that we have known. Those evil years. Oh God, satisfy us with Your mercy. What Moses has in view here is that we would be satisfied with God Himself. That we would be satisfied with being in His presence. And that satisfaction would address us in the here and now and forever. For the days of sorrow are really, in a sense, all the days of our life, because there is the that agonizing already and not yet of the Christian life. We are already children of God, justified by Jesus Christ, but we wrestle and struggle with sin. We still do sin and will till the day we die. But it will not always be that way. The Lord Jesus Christ will come in glory and will raise all to life everlasting. For those who are children of God, you will be raised to a life of eternal joy in the presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He will wipe away every tear. You will never sin again. And the days and the years of sorrow that you have known in this world will seem but a distant memory. And forever, you will rejoice in the presence of God. This mission motivates us to pray for today. And it motivates us to pray for tomorrow. Because Moses doesn't stop even there. He goes on in the close of the psalm to say, "Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. We pray then, not only that God would teach us to count our days and to set our hearts on wisdom. We pray that the Lord would establish the work of our hands. This is part of our mission. God, who is and always will be, is our God. Is a God throughout all of our generations. And because of who He is and because of what He has done, we can pray today, "O Lord, may our work be to your glory. May you, O God, establish the work of our hands so that they would not just be 25 years, that they would not just be 50 years or 100 years, but for generations to come, that the work of your hand would be established." As a congregation, as we press on in the kingdom work that Christ has for us, this goal must be central, to be satisfied with God. It is the gospel, really. It's a mission that embraces what God has done for us. He has been merciful to us and redeemed us from our sins. And He has given us that seed to sow in the world around us. And we have seen Him gathering in brothers and sisters in Christ, those that He is saving. And we believe that He will continue to do so. It's a mission that embraces the future as well in a dramatic way. For Moses prays not only that we would be satisfied with God, but that our children would see His glory as well. That our children would be part of that work that He establishes. So as we, as a people, look back, we can celebrate that God has done great things for us. He has been our dwelling place in all of our history. He is our God, and we are His people now and forever. And in light of this vision, I exhort you to follow Moses in asking God, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Follow Moses in asking God to satisfy us with your mercy. Satisfy us, O Lord, with you yourself. And O Lord, let the beauty of our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let's pray together. Lord God, we can celebrate together what you have done. It's good for us to remember these stories and to remember that you have been good to us. And God, we praise you for that goodness. It is not because we are good and great and powerful in and of ourselves. Instead, O God, we give all glory to you. And we praise you because you have been our dwelling place throughout all of our generations. Based on this, O Lord, we pray that we would have a heart of wisdom. We pray that we would be mindful even of your wrath and be warned by that. That we would pursue godliness and holiness in our lives individually and corporately as a people. O Lord, I pray that we would be quick to repent of our sins and quick to seek you for forgiveness. No, God, I pray that you would teach us to set our hearts on you, to number those few days that we have, and to set them in light of your eternity. For, O God, we pray that this work of the Stillwater Reformed Presbyterian Church would not just be here today and gone tomorrow, but instead that the work of your kingdom would be a work that goes on forever. Lord, may that embrace us as a congregation. May that vision of the kingdom be our vision and motivate us today and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have sung the first portion of this psalm. Let's now sing that portion that is the mission statement. It is something that we confess together as we sing. We ask God, teach us our days. We ask Him to establish our ways. We'll sing Psalm 90, Selection B. Please stand to sing to the Lord.
Teach us how to count our days.